From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll be hearing from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Close Fellowship. The text is Jeremiah 31 and verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. Truly, whatever else we do not know, we know the Lord. This day is this promise true in our experience, and it is not a little one. The least believer among us knows God in Christ Jesus, not as fully as we desire, but yet truly and really we know the Lord. We not only know doctrines about Him, but we know Him. He is our Father and our friend. We are acquainted with Him personally. We can say, My Lord and my God. We are on terms of close fellowship with God. And many a happy season do we spend in His holy company. We are no more strangers to our God, but the secret of the Lord is with us. This is more than nature could have taught us. Flesh and blood has not revealed God to us. Christ Jesus has made known the Father to our hearts. If then the Lord has made us to know Himself, is not this the fountain of all saving knowledge? To know God is eternal life. So soon as we come to acquaintance with God, we have the evidence of being quickened into newness of life. O my soul, rejoice in this knowledge, and bless thy God all this day.
Thank you.
In the 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ presented a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land, the apparent powerlessness of our churches, cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in the urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns will continue a message entitled The Joy of the Spirit, part of this series on the doctrine of the Holy Ghost. The text is found in Romans 14, verse 17, where the Apostle Paul declared one of the components of the kingdom of God to be joy in the Holy Ghost. As Dr. Cairns has already shown, this joy is not produced by mere orthodoxy. It is the result of the Spirit's work in the heart, beginning at regeneration. Then the joy of the Spirit consists of the witness of the Spirit to Christ and all that believers have in Him. Also, the sphere of our joy is walking in the Spirit, or living according to God's commands. As he continues the message, Dr. Cairns demonstrates that the Christian's joy is sustained by the Word of the Spirit. That is, a heart that is captivated by the Holy Scriptures is a heart that knows true joy. Now Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of this message, the joy of the Spirit.
I was reading a little of the great Augustine, Bishop of Hippo. Augustine, one of the great theologians of the Christian Church, he wrote a theological treatise on the two cities. I'm not going into his theological treatise at all this morning, but in part of it, he comes to ask, what is the flesh? And he shows the various scriptural meanings of the word flesh. What does it mean to walk in the flesh? Everybody knows it means to walk in the flesh if you're walking in adultery, if you're walking in theft, if you're walking in open sin. Everybody knows that's walking in the flesh. But then he came to the mentally exalted philosophers who reject Christ. He came to those who are practicing the beauties of the arts, but they reject Christ. And he says, they, even in this, are walking in the flesh, using even the gifts of common grace, yet they are walking in the flesh. Because, he says, at the heart of it all, to walk in the flesh simply means to walk according to self. It means to walk according to man. It means to walk according to your own human nature, your own human will. Divorced from the will of God, setting yourself up against God, making yourself the master of the will of God. It is to walk according to man. So what is it then to walk in the Spirit? It is to walk according to God. How do you know that you're walking according to God? That you're walking according to that book. You're walking according to God's Word. That's walking in the Spirit. Not merely with any external obedience, but with a heart obedience. When the heart is brought to the place of captivity to the Word of God, when the will of the man involved is brought to captivity to the will of God revealed in Scripture by His Spirit and sealed to our hearts by that self-same Spirit, then that man is walking according to the Spirit. And this is what we're told, walk in the Spirit. That's the sphere of experience in Christ. I want to tell you, you will not experience Christ walking according to the mind of the flesh. You will not experience Christ running after some of the aesthetics of the world. There are some people who think that the beauty of the art world, this is of course seen in all the great cathedrals of Europe, the beauty of the art world somehow or other will communicate the beauty of Christ. But that doesn't happen. If you want proof of that, the most ornate and beautiful buildings in Christendom are Roman Catholic chapels and cathedrals. And you'll never find any greater spiritual darkness or less of Christ any place outside of hell itself. And I say that honestly. You'll never find any greater darkness regarding Christ than where there's all this beauty. You see, what we're talking about here is that the sphere of Christ communicated is in the Spirit. It is when the Holy Spirit of God comes and takes Christ as He's revealed in the pages of Scripture, applies Him to the heart, lets the eye of faith see Jesus, and the response of faith to Jesus will be effervescent joy. That's why you know our Protestant forefathers, in so many cases, were called iconoclasts. They went round knocking down beautiful Roman Catholic statues and buildings, etc. And that's why when they built their churches, they built them very plain. The normal Presbyterian meeting house was a square, a very boxy looking building. If you see them over in Scotland or Ireland to this day, they're solid walls about 18 inches thick, built in a square, and about a roof at 30 degrees, not a terribly steep roof, and doesn't look great. Wooden pews that were never meant to look too good and never meant to feel too good. You people are very well off, because then they preached for 2 or 3 hours, and they had these straight upright things. In fact, put two of them together and cut a bit off the top, and you've got a coffin already made. Why did they do it that way? Because they took the very opposite view. You put exceeding great artistic beauty around people, and you're going to get somebody looking at all the artwork. Oh, how lovely it is. And he may be aesthetically pleased and go to hell. Whereas they wanted people to have no distraction, because as they got the pulpit from the corner of the old, as it was in the old Roman Catholic buildings, and got it into the center, and they got the word of God out before the people, and they started to preach to those people, they wanted them to see Jesus. Because that's the only way ever to have real joy. He is the substance of our joy. And as we have the Spirit, we have the sphere of our joy. And joy is the natural result of fellowship with God. Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. When you're in the presence of God, you'll have the joy of the Lord. The walk in the Spirit is the sphere of our joy. Fourth thing I'll say is this, that the word of the Spirit is the sustenance of our joy. We were singing this morning from the Psalm 119. If you look at the 24th verse of that psalm, we sang it deliberately to get this verse in this morning. Psalm number 119, verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight. I emphasize that word. Thy testimonies, which is one of the descriptions in this psalm of the Word of God, this inspired Word of the Spirit of God, thy testimonies are my delights. You see, the Word of God, when it becomes delightful to the heart, and is brought to the soul by the Spirit of God, will then sustain our joy. If you turn over to what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6, you'll find that the Word of God establishes the heart despite all afflictions. Verse 5 talks about the gospel coming, and not only in word but in the power of the Holy Ghost. But the word did come. What was the result? Ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. When the word of God gets into a man's heart, it establishes that heart in joy in spite of afflictions. You know, that's how a Christian can come to fulfill certain scriptures that really, to the carnal mind, don't make much sense. James 1 verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you enter into diverse temptations or trials. Count it all joy. How do you count it all joy? I have to be honest and say my flesh does not rejoice in trial, trouble, temptation, pain, or anything else like that. It doesn't rejoice in it. I hate it with a total hatred. And if you're honest, you'll say your heart and flesh are about the same. It's not natural to rejoice in those things unless something's happened to your mind. But when the Word of God takes a hold of a man, something does happen to his mind. It's elevated to a new standard. It's elevated to a new enjoyment. It's looking beyond the moment. It's looking beyond this little life and time. It's looking out into eternity. It sees Christ upon the throne, and it sees a crown that is waiting in the glory. It sustains itself despite afflictions. You remember, Paul says in Romans 5 and 3, we glory in tribulation. We glory in tribulation. Why? Because he says we know that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. It'll never let us down. The Word of God sustains the joy in the believer. This comes over very clearly in the book of Romans, chapter 15, in verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The comfort, the consolation, the joy of Scripture. You see, as we're going through this old world, there is much to attack your enjoyment of the Lord. There's much to get your eyes of Christ. There is much to destroy your peace of heart. There is much to get you into bondage. How do you overcome? The word of the Spirit. We could well take those words that Christ keeps on quoting in the letters to the churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. He that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Your enjoyment of your salvation depends upon hearing what the Spirit says. I believe that's why Jeremiah, in chapter 15 of his prophecy, and in verse 16, could say, thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by the name, or by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. You know, when you can say that, God the Holy Spirit, by his word, will sustain your joy. Thy words were found. In other words, there was diligent search. Lord, I gave myself to searching out the word of God, and thy word was found, and I did eat the word of God. And the word of God became not just my duty, but it became my joy. It became not just my religious reading day by day, but it became the rejoicing of my heart. When the word of God becomes your joy and rejoicing, then you'll be able to rejoice in this. I am called by thy name. I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I'm glad I'm saved. The Word of God sustains my joy and salvation. This is vital for every believer.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.